Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Yud. Today's shiur, Mirtz Hashem, will begin three lines from the top. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have our topic heading, we call the Nosei. It reads, Hatshuva, the response, Lebaldin. Baldin, in this case, is a reference to a wicked man or an idol worshipper, Sheroitze Liton, that wants to claim She'ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Bitzdaka, that the Almighty does not want us to perform acts of tzedakah. Now the Gemara. Tanya, Hoya Rebbe Meir Omer, Yesh lo lebal din lahashiv chavelo malach. There's room for thinking that the wicked one can respond to us and say, Im elokechem oyev aniyim, if your God loves the poor, who mipnei ma eino mefarnesam, then why doesn't he support them? Why does he let them go poor? And more low, so now this is what we are to respond. Why the Almighty has a world in which there are the poor? Kedei shenitzol onu bohen dino shel gehenem, so that we can save ourselves from judgment in purgatory. In other words, through our doing tzedakah and giving those that do not have a means of support, we save ourselves from purgatory. And that's a great act of loving kindness on the part of the Almighty that He provides us with. V'zu she'ela shal tenis rupus harosha es Rabbi Kiven. This, in fact, was the question that the evil Turnus Rupus posed to Rabbi Kiva. Who, if the Almighty loves the poor, why doesn't he support them? So the wicked one says, Adarabba, to the contrary, by our supporting the poor, that actually condemns us to purgatory. I'll give you an analogy. To what can this be compared? To a mortal king, Shekos al Avdo. We want to point out the dashed underline, the word Avdo, a word worthy of emphasis. A mortal king that became irate with his slave, his servant. The Chavshu Beis Yisroel, and as a result, he incarcerated him. V'tziv olav, and issued an order, shelo lachilo v'shelo lashkoso, do not feed him, do not give him to drink. And one individual went ahead, and in fact violated that edict. And when the king got word of that, lo kois olav, would the king not be angered by that? So that working against the will of the king is something that actually enrages the king. V'atem kriyim avodim, and the Jewish people, says Tornes Rupus, are called avodim. Shenemar kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. So being that we're categorized as avodim, and the Almighty is the king, our behavior against his will by feeding the incarcerated slave, that is considered something that would enrage the Almighty. Omar lo Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva has his response. Emshol l'chol moshol. I will give you an analogy. It's almost the same analogy, but you're going to see, instead of avdo, we're going to use the word beno, his son. I'll give you an analogy. He got angry at his son, and incarcerated his own son, and commanded not to feed or drink him, give him to drink. And someone went ahead and gave the king's son food and drink. When the king gets word of that, lo doron mishagir lo, would the king not in fact be so happy that he would send him a gift? Vanan kriyim bonim, and we, the Jewish people, are called bonim. Dichtiv bonim atem l'shem elokechem. Omar lo, so the wicked Turnus Rupus responded, atem kriyim bonim ukriyim avonim. Yes, both titles are used in the context of the Jewish people. Bizman shatem oisim ritzon shel mokam atem kriyim bonim. When you are fulfilling the will of God, so you are called the sons of God. When you are in violation of His will, you are called slaves. When you are not doing the will of God, and now, And so Rabbi, this is during the time of Turnus Rippus, who represents the Roman Empire, who had the upper hand at this particular point in history. The Jewish people were downtrodden, were conquered. And so Turnus Rippus says, V'achshav, and now, Einatem oisim ritzon Hashem olkom, you're not doing the will of God. We take a look at the Rashi. Look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, "V'achshav I atem oisim ritzon Hashem olkom, lefi shatem begolus." Turnus Rippus says you're in a state of exile. V'atem yicholim lekayim kol haTorah. Even though, technically speaking, Rabbi Kiva was most likely in Eretz Yisrael, but the reference to the Golos is a reference to the time, certainly, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and all the more so with regard to those that live outside of Eretz Yisrael, there are so many mitzvahs that cannot be fulfilled. So you're not categorized as Oisin Ritzonei Shel Mokoyim. And therefore, as Turnus Rippus says, you're in the category of Avodim. And we go back to my analogy, he says, about the king that incarcerated his slave. He doesn't want him to be given food and drink. He doesn't want acts of charity. Omar lo. So Rabbi Kiva, we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva responds, Harehu Omer, halo preis lorev lachmocho vanim rudim tovo bayis. This pasuk we've quoted in our previous shiur, and this pasuk deals with the giving of food to the poor, and he explains, Amosai aniyim rudim tavo bayis ho'itna. Aniyim rudim is a reference we saw in our previous shiur to the Roman Empire, to the wicked kingdom. When is this pasuk in fulfillment of Vaniyim Rudim Tavi Bias, that the wicked are coming into our homes? That's nowadays. That's when your empire is in authority, the Kalmar, and still it says Halo Pros Leroev Lachmacha. And even under such conditions of conquest, of our being in conquest, conquered by your empire, we're still commanded to give food to the poor. Dorash Reb Rabbi Shalom, Keshem Shemezenesiv Shalom Ksuvim Rosh Hashanah, just like a person's income, his food literally, is established at Rosh Hashanah, Kach Chesrenesiv Shalom Ksuvim Lo Me Rosh Hashanah, so too a person's losses for the upcoming year are established from Rosh Hashanah. So, I think it's worth pointing out that you find a parallel comment in Maseches Beitza Daf Tes Zayin Omer Aleph. So, just like a person's income is established on Rosh Hashanah, so too a person's losses are established on Rosh Hashanah. Zocha, if a person has merit, and here we're focusing on this concept of a person's losses. That means a person has had a certain amount of money, and he is not going to retain possession of that money. So if he has merit, halo pros l'roev lachmacho, that money will go from his possession to the poor, and you'll merit fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. Lo zocha. However, if you don't have that, you don't have the necessary merit, v'aniyim rudim tavi bayis, your money is going to end up going to the government. Key, and now we have a story to illustrate this. This is an incident involving the nephews of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he saw in a dream that they were to lose a certain amount of money. And since he had that dream, which had some prophetic value, he, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, arranged for it that the money that they were to lose should end up going to tzedakah. That's the gist of the story. And now we see in the Gemara, we also, by the way, have a long marking. So to illustrate this idea of the losses are established at the outset And if there is merit, it will go, at least your money will go to charitable causes. Like the story involving the sons of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's sister, Chaza Lehu Bechilma, he saw them in a dream, that they were to lose 700 dinar. Asinu Shokaminayo Litzdoka. He pressured them, he forced them, or certainly he directed them or caused them to allocate money to tzedakah. So after they gave their donation, posh gabayo, the remained by them shivsar dinri, 17 dinar. So from the outset, from the introduction we gave to this story, you can then understand that they must have given 683 dinar to tzedakah. There remained with them 17 dinar. Kimoto mali yom edikvuri. When Erev Yom Kippur arrived, Shodr Debe Kesar, there was a force sent by the Caesar, Naktinu, and that force took them. Omar Lohur Mechamed Zakkai, Lo Tidchalun, don't worry. Shivsar Dinri Gabaychu Shaklinu Minaychu, the 17 dinar that remained with you, that is what they took. And that's all they're going to take. Amrile, they said to him, how do you know? Amar lehu, chamachazoi lehu, I saw a dream regarding you. Amrile, v'amai lo amrislon de nisvinu, why didn't you tell us about the dream, and we could have at least given those last 17 dinar to tzedakah? Amar lehu, Rabbi Yochanan answers them, amino, I figured ki hechi de tavdu mitzvah lishma. I was hoping that you would be able to fulfill the mitzvah with pure intention, and not merely to save the money from being taken by the authorities. Rav Popa havesolik bedarga. Rav Popa was going up a ladder. Ishtamit kare, his foot slipped. Boy lemefal, and he was about to fall. Omar hashta kane. If I would have fallen, ichayev, and he speaks here in euphemistic terms, there would have been condemned ma desoni lon. He was hated upon us. A reference to himself, that I would have been condemned, falling from the ladder, kemachali shabosis gavde avidus kechavim, like Sabbath violators and idol worshippers. The Torah punishment for them is stoning. Skila, and the way the court executes skila is by first shoving a person off a type of cliff, without getting into the details that are featured in Maseches Sanhedrin. But the idea of falling from a ladder is also like skila in that sense. It has to do with being pushed off or falling off a height. Omale chiyo bar rav midifti l'rav popo. Rav Chia, Chia bar Rav, says to Rav Papa, who just experienced the near catastrophe, Shema oni bali ad chavlo parnasto. Maybe a poor man came your way and you didn't support him. Desanya, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Omer Kol, Hamalim Ein of Min Hatzdoka, anyone who avoids giving tzedaka, Kilu Oyved Avoides Kachavim. It's tantamount to idol worship. Ksiv Hacha, it says in the context of charity, that's one pasuk. Sivasam, regarding a city of idol worshippers, the pasuk says Yatsu Anoshim Bnei Blial. So you see the word Blial also in the case of idol worshipper, idol worship. Just like over there, Yatsu Anoshim Bnei Blial is a reference to idolatry. Afkan. So too in with regard to tzedakah avodas kochavim, namely the lack of giving tzedakah is equal to tantamount to idol. Idolatry. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yosi Kol, Sokha V'chesed, Shi Yisrael, Oysin, Bo'olam Hazeh, Sholom Golo, Lupraktim Golo, Lupraklit M'gedolim, Bein Yisrael, Avim Shiv HaShemayim. All acts of charity and loving kindness the Jews do in this world that creates peace and defense forces for the individual, for the Jews in heaven. Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Tovo Beis Marzeach, Al Telech Lispo, Ve'al Tonoid Lohem, Ki Osafti Es Shlomi, Me'eso Marzeach, Es HaChesed, Ve'es HaRachamim. That's the Pasuk, Chesed Zu Gemilas HaSodim, Rachamim Zu Tzedaka. The reference in this Pasuk to Chesed and Rachamim is a reference to Chesed, Gemilas HaSodim, and Tzedaka. And if that would be performed, so there would be peace and prakliten to serve as defense for Yisrael. There's a Rashi about halfway down the narrow lines of Rashi. Ki osafti es shlomi me'eis omazeh umal hashalom. The pasuk describes the Almighty gathering in His peace from the people. This pasuk is from Yirmiyahu, a pasuk of devastation, referencing to a situation where there is no peace. The pasuk says, "I have gathered in my peace." And what is the shalom? Rashi says, "Es hachesed v'serachamim shahoyu regim lasos." It's a reference to the acts of loving kindness and charity that they used to do, but once they stop doing that, so the Almighty doesn't provide them with the peace and tranquility that they otherwise would have merited. The Gemara continues, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gedolut Tzedaka, Shemakarvasis Abdula. Great is the act of Tzedaka, that it hastens the redemption. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem, Shimru Mishpo Nasut Tzedaka, Ki Kroivo Yishwasi Lavo, Vitzidkosi Li Golos. Observe justice and do acts of tzedakah, and krova yeshuasi, the salvation is forthcoming. Hu hoya omer, the Rabbi Yehuda used to say, asor dvorim koshim mivumlam. There are 10 tough, difficult, strong things that were created in the world. And you'll see, we have a build-up over here, and at the end of this build-up, you'll see the power of tzedakah. Har kosha, a mountain, is solid. Barzel, however, implements made of iron, mechatcho, can cut into stone. Barzel kosha, iron is tough. Esh mefapoy, however, a fire is capable of melting it. Esh kosha, mayim mechamenoso. Fire is tough, but water extinguishes it. Mayim koshim, ovim sovimason, as tough as water is, the clouds that float in the skies absorb the water. Ovim koshim, ruach mefazrosan, the wind comes and disperses the clouds. Ruach koshim, guf sovlo, within a person's body there is wind, there is air, and it is able to contain the ruach that's koshe. Guf koshe, pachat shovro. A person might have a body that's capable of withstanding what we just mentioned, but fear and fright breaks it. Pachat koshe, yayim mefigo. When a person is in a state of fear, he takes a couple of glasses of wine, and that dissipates his fear. Yayin koshe, shina mefak koshe. What undoes the power or the effects of wine? Sleep. Umisa koshe, and death, that's even more powerful. Utstoka matzelis minamisa. And after all of that, we know that acts of charity save a person from death. Dechtiv utstoka tatzil mimoves. Dorash Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yanai, Bo Re'e, Shalok Midas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basur V'Dom. The ways of Hashem are not like the ways of people. Midas Basur V'Dom, Odo Mevi Doron, Godol L'Melech, a person brings a large, expensive gift to a king, Sofek Mekablen Oso, Himenu, Sofek E Mekablen Oso, Himenu. There is a doubt. It's not sure that the king will accept the gift. V'im Tim Solom Mekablen Oso, Himenu, and if he does accept the gift, Sofek Ro'o Pnei HaMelech, Sofek E'no Ro'o Pnei HaMelech. There is still doubt whether the king will greet the gift bearer. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein, but the Almighty is not like that. Adam noisein prutaloni, a person gives a small coin to a poor man, zech mekabel geshina. He has the merit of greeting the divine presence. Shenemar ani betzedek, echazeh ponecha esbo b'halkitz tumunosecha. that through tzedek, through tzedaka, echzeh ponecha, I will be able to see you. I will be able to greet you. Rabbi Lozer, yohiv pruto le'oni v'hoder matzli. Rabbi Lozer, before davening, he would give a pruto to the oni, and then matzli, then daven. Omar, ksiv, he says, the pasuk says, ani b'tzedek echzeh ponecha, that echzeh ponecha is understood to mean the in this case davening, where when a person davens, when a person is in Shemayin Esrei, he's standing in front of the Shechina. What precedes that? Betzedek. First give tzedakah and then daven. My esba b'alkitz numarasecha. So with regard to Rabbi Lozer, we see a drasha on the first part of the pasuk. What do we make of the second part? Omer of Nabi Yitzchok elu tamidei chachamim. That phrase, Espo Abhokit Smusecha, is a reference to Torah scholars, Shemnadit and Shino Meinebul Amazeh. They overcome their tendency to want to sleep. In other words, they fight off sleep in this world. Vakodesh Baruch Hu must be on Miziv Hashchina Lulam Abba. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu will grant them satisfaction from his divine glory in the world to come. So it is in exchange for the efforts Talmidei Chachamim make in this world, they merit the divine glory in the world to come. The Rashi says, Espo behokitz timnasecha beschar hokitza. Hokitza is a state of being awake, staying up. And so in reward for hokitza, that's the word in the pasuk behokitz. So esbo timnasecha. So that you get, with Rashi's explanation, you notice that he takes the of that phrase, he takes the first and third words of the phrase, namely Esbo Tmunasecha, and explains that that's a reward for the Behakitz, for staying awake for the purpose of studying Torah. We continue in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv malva Hashem chonin dal. Now, il mole mikro kosov, if we didn't have a scripture that says says what it says, e efshel omro, one would not have been able to say the following. Kiviyochol, it's as if eved loyvel ish malve, and we go immediately to Rashi. Malve Hashem chonein dal, hachonein dalim, one who shows kindness to the poor, nase malve laKodesh Baruch Hu, as if he is a lender to the Almighty. And you can imagine, how can one possibly say such a thing? Well, the pasuk says it. Uksiv ve'eved lo v'lish malva, and we know from another pasuk that a borrower, and in this case kiviyochol the Almighty, he's portrayed here as the borrower, he's enslaved to the one that lends him. So that by doing tzedakah, it's as if you're kiviyochol putting the Kodesh Baruch Hu in a position that he owes you. Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ksiv. We're in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Ksiv lo yo'il hoin biyom evra utzdaka tatzil mimoves. Great wealth will not help a person in yom evra, on the day of wrath. However, charity saves a person from death. Uksiv, and almost a repeat idea in another pasuk, also in Mishlei, lo yo'ilu otzros rasha utzdaka tatzil mimoves. So we have in these two psukim a repeat of the idea of tzedakah tatzil mimoves, shtei tzedakas alon lama. What is the necessity of having the tzedakah tatzil mimoves stated twice? Answer, achas shematzilosu mimisa mishuna v'achas shematzilosu midina shel gehenem. One reveals to us that tzedakah has the power of saving a person from experiencing a difficult or cruel type of death. That's a misa mishuna. Mishuna literally means something strange, a strange form of death. And when we say strange, it's in the negative sense. So that tzedakah can save a person from when he has to die, from having to suffer a misa mishuna. The other reference to tzedakah is that it has the power of saving a person from judgment in purgatory. Which one of these two psukim is a reference to tzedakah as salvation from dino shel gehenim? Answer, hahu, that posuk dechtiv bei evra. So in our markings you can see two lines up, means three lines from the bottom. fourth word on the line. We dot underline. We had dot underline that to connect it with this statement of the Gemara. And how do you see that Evra is a reference to Dina Shoganem? Dechtiv Yoim Evra Hayoim Hahu. That day, meaning the day of judgment in Gehenem, is called Yom Evra. V'ezohi Shemasilosu Mimiso Mishuneh. Here, it would seem to be, if you're going to translate the Gemara literally, it would seem to be unnecessary. We've already established which one of the psukim refers to Hatzolah Medina Shel Gehenem, so you don't need to ask this. So rather, we're going to translate the question of the Gemara not simply as which pasuk, but which form of performance, what kind, describe the performance of tzedakah. What is, the Gemara says, v'ezohi, which kind or behavior in doing an act of tzedakah is capable of saving someone from misa mishuneh. The Gemara responds, we're turning to the top of Omid Beis. Noisna vieno yodea lemi noisna noitla vieno yodea mimi noitla. If one can perform tzedakah in such a way that he gives the tzedakah but he doesn't know who is the receiver, and the receiver does not know who is the giver, that we'll call it a totally anonymous performance of tzedakah. That is the way to perform tzedakah in order to merit hatzolah from misa mishuneh. And now what the Gemara does, it takes a look at these two phrases that we've already marked off, aleph and beis. Noisna v'eino yodela mi noisna, that form of charity, la'afuke midamor ukfa, to the exclusion of what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksubas about mar ukfa. Mar ukfa, he gave tzedakah, he knew who the receiver was, even though the receiver didn't know who the giver was. The Gemara in Ksubas describes that Mar Ukfa would deposit in the door hinge or door socket of a particular poor man, and after he put the money there, he would run away, and when the poor man opened the door, he would see the money and not know who left it there. But as we said, a higher form of tzedakah is to give it and you don't even know who the receiver is. The other phrase, noitla v'eino yodea mimi noitla, one who takes or receives the money, he receives it but doesn't know who the giver was. What does that exclude? Lafuki mida Rebbe Abba, to the exclusion of the practice of Rebbe Abba. In the case of Rebbe Abba, he took money and attached it he slung it over his shoulder, so to speak, and he walked in a poor neighborhood, and the poor would come and take money from that pouch slung over Rabbi Abba's back. But when they were coming to take the money, Rabbi Abba didn't see who was taking, but they knew who from whom they were receiving the money. V'yala hechilavit, well, if you're going to say give it in a totally anonymous way, how do you, in practical terms, how do you do it? Answer, leisiv lanik ishal tzedakah, you give it to a public charity fund. So you're going to put the money in there, you don't know who's going to receive it, and when the money is eventually distributed, they don't know who gave it. Meisvei, ma yes adam, v'yilu bonim zechorim. We're quoting now a Tanaic source, and what we really need from this Tanaic source is the second part, the latter half of the source. In the meantime, though, there's interesting information in the first part of the source. What should a person do and merit having male children? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yefazer Moisov Laniyim, distribute money to the poor. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Yisameach Ishto Lidvar Mitzvah, that before a person conducts an act of intimacy with his wife, he should make her, put her into a state of happiness. Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov Omer, Lo Yitein Odom Pruto Larniki Shel Tzedakah, Elohim came imuna oleo k'ribi chananyo ben tradyon. What we want to do by way of markings and emphasis, the initial approach to this source is, you see from this Tanaic source, don't put your money into a public charity fund Unless you have someone like the great Tana Rabbi Chanan ben Atravya in charge of it. But in general, he seems to be saying, don't put your money into a public charity fund. And just before this source, the Gemara was recommending that is the ideal way of performing tzedakah. The Gemara answers, there's no problem here. Ki ko amrinon, when we said, put your money in a public charity fund, the memani alok, Rabbi Chananya ben Tranya, assuming that the one in charge of it is someone as honest as the great Tana Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon. Why is he cited? What is his unique significance that he is the example over here? Mirtz Hashem, we'll see more about that when we get to the Tosfos. The triangles that you see are featured on the side as memros of Rabbi Avo, b'shvachay shel tzedaka ve'od. Comments made by Rabbi Avo in praise of tzedakah and other information. Omer Rabbi Avo. We continue with the Gemara. Omer Moshe l'tnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ribbono shel Olam, b'mat Torah ken Yisrael. Through what can the glory, can the pride of Israel be raised? Omer lo, b'chisisa. Now, chisisa is a reference to the parsha in Sefer Shmos that speaks of the collection of the Machzis HaShekel. So we take a look at the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Omer lo b'chisisa. In Bosa loseis rosham b'hagbo, if you want to raise the heads of the Jewish people, raise their pride, kach mehem kofer litzdoka, take from them a form of atonement. Kofer is atonement. It's a reference to the collection of the Machzis HaShekel. Take money from them for charity purposes. I just want to emphasize that the term ki sisa has to do with losses, is to raise something. So if you want to raise the glory of Israel, collect money, as the Pasuk describes, and we're adding here, collect money for charity. That, the giving of charity, will raise the pride of Israel. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Shalu as Shlomo ben David, they asked King Solomon, Ad hechon kecha shel tzedakah, how far does the strength of tzedakah go? Omar lohen, so Shlomo HaMelech answered them, Tzuru ma piresh David Abba, go take a look at what my father David, the author or editor of Sefer Tehillim, what does he write in Tehillim? Pizar no san levyonim, tzidkosu medes lo'ad, karnoi tarum b'chavod, that he who distributes money to the poor will have his glory and honor raised. Rabbi Avo, Amar Mehocha, Rabbi Avo says that concept is seen from the following pasuk. Hu meroimim yishkoin, mitzodoi sloim isgabo, lachmo nitan, meimov ne'monim. And now the Gemara darshins this pasuk. Ma tam meroimim yishkoin, mitzodoi sloim isgabo. Why, or what, how is it, what causes one to dwell on high in strength? Mishum, the lachmo nitanu meimov ne'monim. So the pasuk that we read from Yeshaya opens up with a result, and the second part of the pasuk is an explanation of how to achieve that result, and that is lachmo nitan umeimov ne'monim, by giving food and drink to the needy. V'yomar Rabbi Avo, we continue in the Gemara on the first of the wider lines under the narrow lines of the Gemara. V'yomar Rabbi Avo shalu es shloimoi ezu ben hoylem apa, who is one that is it merits a portion in the world to come. Omer lehem, call, and here we're presented with a pasuk again from Sefer Yeshaya. He says to them, anyone shekineged zikenov kovoy. That's a little bit terse. We take a look at Rashi, who is quite clear. Keneged zikenov kovoy, oisom shecholkim lehem kovoy boilam azeh, machmas chochma ziknosam. People who are honored in this world because of their Torah knowledge. So if you encounter people that are honored by the public because of their Torah knowledge, that is a sign that that individual is a Ben Olam Haba. And now a maisa to illustrate that. Ki ha the Rav Yosef braid Rav Yeshua Cholash Ingid, the son of Rav Yosef was the son of Rav Yeshua. He Cholash, he took ill Ingid and he passed out. This might be, using contemporary jargon, might be termed a near-death experience. Omale Avua my choses. So Rav Yeshua, the father of Rav Yosef, asked his son, what did you see? In other words, he had this near-death experience, came back to, father asked him, what did you see? Omale Olam Hafuch Reisi, I saw an inverted world. What we're doing as we present this Gemara, we're presenting it with, on a basic translation level, with the Rashi commentary in mind. There are other commentaries in how to approach this, but we're sticking right now with the Rashi. So he says, I saw an inverted world. El yoinim lamato v'tachtoinim lamala. And we look in Rashi, el yoinim lamato. El yoinim means the upper ones were below. Oysom shehem el yoinim kan. Machmas oishon, those that are revered in this world because of their wealth. Now this is of course in stark contrast to those that are revered because of their chokhmas ziknosam. But those that are revered in this world because of their wealth, in other words, those are the guys on top. Roisi shom shein lamat, I saw they were down below. And v'tachtoinim l'malo, Rashi says, Risi aniyim, I saw the poor, shehein beinenu shveidam, I saw people that amongst us in this world are lowly, sham reisim chashuvim, I saw there they were viewed as people of significance. Omale, so the father responds, Olam boro roisa, you saw a world of clarity. In other words, again, just on a simple translation level, the fact that people are revered and held in great esteem because of their wealth, that's not truthfulness. That's not what we call an oilam of emes. If we want to speak about what truly merits reverence and honor, that would be certainly in the realm of he who is proficient in his acts of loving kindness and his Torah study, etc. But simply because one has amassed wealth, that is not a true source of honor and respect. So the father says, what you saw where all those rich guys were on the bottom rung, that is a world of clarity. The father asks, "Vanan hechi chazisinon, we the Bali Torah, the Torah scholars, how did you see the Torah scholars in that world?" Amale, the son answered, "Ki hechi de chashvinon hocha, just like we are significant here in this world, chashvinon hosam, so too over there." Now, you'll notice with our markings, we dashed underline these two words, chashvin and hasam, because this is the reason that this maysa was brought in. And now there's more to the story. V'shamati shoyu oimrim ashrei mi shebo lekan v'tamru biyodo. Fortunate is the one that comes here, meaning into that next world, with his Torah scholarship in his hand. Meaning a person who had pursued a life of Torah study. Eventually, when he passes away, he comes to the next world with a life full of Torah study. V'shamati she'omrim, and I also heard them. I heard in the next world during my near death experience, haruge malchus ein kobrio yecholo lamo b'mechitzasan. Those that were killed by the authorities, no creature can stand in their precinct. Maninu, who are these haruge malchus that are so praised, that are so highly praised in that next world? If you're to think it's Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues, a most likely reference to what we term the Asora haruge malchus, the 10 great rabbinic martyrs, those who are familiar with the prayers of Yom Kippur and of Tisha B'Av, know that there's a major paragraph dedicated to that era. So is the reference to Haruge Malchus and Kobriya Yechol Alamo Bechmechitzos in a reference to them? No, the Gemara says, Mishum Haruge Malchus Vesulo. Are you to think that their only merit is because they were executed by the government? Do they not have other massive merits? They could be described as no other can stand in their precinct simply by the fact that they achieved such lofty heights of Torah study. As the Gemara goes on to say, Pshita, it would be obvious, Balav Achinami, even without them having been executed in such a harsh, evil fashion, they still would have been they still would have merited extreme praise that no one else can stand in their precinct. So who are those that, because of their having been executed, they are termed as Ein Kol Briya Yechol Olam L'Mechitzasan? The Gemara answers, Elo Haruge Lud. Lud is the name of a city in Israel. And we take a look at the Rashi, who gives us the historical background. Haruge Lud, the names of the people referred to are Lulianus Upapus, Achim. They were brothers. Shehargam Torinus Harosha, Ludkia. They were executed by this government official, Torinus. Kinamrin Masechus Tainus, as is featured in Tainus. Al Yedei Gzeirosh in Israel Yisrael, Lahashmid. An edict that was issued to commit genocide, killing off all of Israel. Why? Al Shenimsis Bas Melech Haruga V'Choshu Es Yisrael Leah, an old blood libel. They found the princess, the daughter of the king, murdered, and they suspected Jews. V'Omdu Ho'achim Alolu V'Omru, and these two brothers arose and said, Malochem Yisrael, what do you have against the Jewish people? Anu Arganua, we killed her. Of course, they didn't kill her, but in order to save the Jewish people, they came and confessed the crime that they did not do, and they were executed. And through their execution, the rest of Israel was saved, and hence they merited this great praise of Haruge Malchus Ein Kol Briya Yechol Olamoid B'Mechitzasan. Tanya, Omer Lehen, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, L'Talmidov. Bonai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai addresses his students and says, my sons, Mahu Shomar Kosov, Tztokotrom in Goy, V'chezul Mimchatos. We have a pasuk that we just read, and as you scan ahead, allow your eye to scan down the page. What immediately jumps out? You see a series of diamonds, and you will see double underlines. On the side of the Gemara, we have the following. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the double underline highlights the word Ne'eneh, where you see someone responding, and the diamond introduces a list of Rabbonim, Rebbe so-and-so, Pinyaso Shel Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai L'Talmidov. We're going to see Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai as him turning to his students, Lishmo Hezber L'Posuk, to hear from each one of them an explanation. How does each one understand the Posuk of Tztokot from Mingoy V'Chezun M'Chatas? If we attempt an almost literal translation of that Posuk, it says that that charity will raise a nation, and Chesed, loving kindness, amongst the nations is their sin. Now the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked his students, what do you make of this pasuk? Nene Rabbi Lezer v'yomar. So Rabbi Lezer opens and says, Stokotrom and Goy, that first clause, Eli Yisrael, that's a reference to the Jewish people. Ironically, you find as this recording is made, the term Goy is used very often to refer to quite exactly the opposite, the non-Jews. But if in a scriptural sense, in a technical sense, the word Goy actually is a reference to the Jewish people. And how do we know to say that? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Umi ka'amcho Yisrael Goy echad baretz, who is like the Jewish people, the singular nation in the world. So, Tztokot Roman Goy, charity will raise the Goy, the Jewish people. V'chesu Milchatos, does that mean? All acts of charity and loving kindness that idol worshippers perform, it's really a sin. And why do you say that? It's done with very self-interest involved, opportunism, self-aggrandizement. This gadabo increase their position. Kamo shenemar, an illustration of a goy and tztoka. You'll see in the following pasuk. This is a pasuk in Aramaic. You'll see because it's from the book of Ezra, many psukim in Ezra are in fact in Aramaic, and it says there describes the if I'm not mistaken, it was the Persian monarch that sent money to the Beis HaMikdash. And often you see throughout the sukkis that we've been dealing with in Stoka, donations to the Beis HaMikdash are equated with acts of charity. And he sent money to the Beis HaMikdash. And it says this, and it's a reference once again to the Persian or an idolatrous monarch. For the purpose of the money was sent for the purpose of offering sacrifices to the God of the heavens, and through that the life of the king and his children will be saved. Notice we have a bracketed section. After the brackets, you'll see we pick up with Rabbi Yeshua's explanation of the pasuk. Up to this point, though, what we have said is that the giving of tzedakah with self-interest in mind is viewed as sinful. The Gemara brings that into question. Is that so bad? The Gemara says within the brackets, lav tzedakah gemura hi, is that not considered full-fledged tzedakah? Even if it was given with self-interest in mind, one who gives this selah is a coin. He gives money to charity with the, we'll call it the stipulation or the condition, in order that he and his children shall live and that he should merit a portion in the world to come. And the source says that's considered a tzadik gomer, a full-fledged righteous individual, completely righteous person. So what's, why then was the monarch in Sefer Ezra viewed as sinful? Lo kashya. Kan b'Yisrael kan b'Eved Kichavim. A distinction is made between a Jew who gives tzedakah and adds a condition versus an idol worshipper that gives tzedakah and adds a stipulation. When a Jew gives tzedakah with his stipulation in mind, his kavanah, his intent, is really of a pure nature, whether his stated condition comes to fulfillment or not. He will not question the eventual divine judgment, even if it doesn't match his intentions or his stated purpose. However, when it comes to an idol worshipper, when he gives the tzedakah, he does so strictly attached to his stipulation. And if that stipulation is eventually not met, he will regret it. He will regret having given the charity. When it comes to the Jew, though, there is, even if the stipulation or the conditions are not met, he will not regret having given the charity. The Gemara continues, Nenner of Yeshua of Yamar Tzedakah Tromim Goy, Eil Yisrael, Dechtiv, Mi Kam Chol Yisrael Goy Echad. V'chesu M'chatos, Kol Tzedakah V'chesu Tshumos Oydek of Oysen, Chetu Lohen, Shein Oysen Elo B'chtei Shetim Shach, Shetim Oshech Malchuson. You'll notice what we've done with our markings. You can see we've dashed, underline the differences between the various opinions as to why the chesed and tzedakah that the idol worshipping nations was considered a sin. And in this case, he says the only reason that they give tzedakah is that their monarchy shall continue, their kingdoms shall last. Shenemar, And here we have a pasuk that we cited earlier in our perek, where Daniel had given advice to Nebuchadnezzar. And it's and you see in this pasuk he says Lohain Malka Milki Yishpar Aloch Vechato Och Betzidka Fruk Veavo Yosoch Vemichan Anoyin Hein Teve Arka Leshlev Soch. Again, I should have mentioned this is a heavy Aramaic pasuk. But what is learned from here is that through Nebuchadnezzar in that particular story had been troubled by a vision, a dream that he was going to suffer a downfall. And what we will learn from over there is that through his doing tzedakah, through his act of charity, delayed the ultimate. His ultimate downfall, his kingdom's ultimate downfall. He delayed it, so he had accomplished this idea of hemshif machusan, that his monarchy continued. So that for our purposes, the acts of loving kindness and charity that idol worshippers do is with this self interest in mind, and hence it's called chesed l'umim chatos. It's considered sinful. Nene Rabban Gamliel v'Yomar Tzedakah Tromim Goy Elu Yisrael D'chtiyuvu Mikam Chay Yisrael Ve Goy Echad Baretz, of course. V'Chesed Munchatos Kol Tzedakah V'Chesed Akum Oisim Chetu Lahem. All acts of Tzedakah Chesed that the idol worshippers do is really a sin for them. Shein Oisin Ela Lehis Yoher Bo. They do it only for their own self glorification. V'Chol Mesiyar Nefenem. People who pursue self-glorification, haughtiness, eventually fall into Gehenna. Shenemar Zaid Yohir Leitshmo Oise Be'evras Zadoin. So you have in this pasuk reference to Yohir, haughtiness, and you see Evras Zadoin Vein Evra Legehenna Shenemar Yom Evra Yom Ahu. And we saw that at the bottom of Omid Aleph, that Evra, or in this case Evra Zadoin, is a reference to Gehenna. After we've heard all of these approaches, we had Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel himself offered an explanation. He says, well, we still need the approach of the Modoi. That's a reference to Rabbi Lezer HaModoi, Omer, Stalker from Goyal Israel, Shedichtiv, Umi Kamcho Israel Goyachot, Vechesel Luchatos, Kosok Vechesel Shakum Oisim. When the idol worshippers perform acts of charity, they do it only as a means of cursing us out. Their goal is Jewish deprecation. Shinemar. Here we have a pasuk. Now this pasuk. Explained, the little background is explained by Rashi. If you notice the Rashi, six lines from the very end, Vayove, Vayas Hashem, Kasher Diber Kichatos, Chatosam Hashem, Chle, Nevuzradan Komalei Lemiryo. Nevuzradan was the official sent to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He was sent by Nebuchadnezzar, and he said to the prophet Yirmiyo, Che Magla Es Yisrael Abovel. He said what we're going to see in this pasuk at a point at which the Jewish people were exiled to Bavel. So let's now turn back to the pasuk. Vayove vayas Hashem kasher diber ki chatosem Hashem v'lo shematem b'kolo v'hoyo lochem adovar hazeh. You might ask, where do you see any act of tzedakah and chesed in this pasuk? So Tosfos will reveal that Mirtz Hashem later on. So we're just going to work with the assumption that you have in this pasuk Nevuzradan involved with an act of tzedakah and chesed, and you can see and while he's doing his act of tzedakah and chesed, he's deprecating the Jews as you have sinned to God and you did not heed his words, and that's why you're suffering this exile. Nene Rabbi Nechunya ben Akura v'Yomar Tzedakah Tromim Goy V'Chesed. Notice here I have a unique approach. The tzedakah and chesed are together as raising the goy. What's the goy? L'Yisrael. Ulu'umim chatos. Omar lahem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he of course was the one that opened up this whole discussion. He was interested in hearing from the Talmidim their explanations of the Pasuk, and now after hearing all these explanations, he says to them, Nirin divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Akona midivrei midvorai u'midivreichem. His approach is more likely than my approach. By the way, we didn't see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's approach, but his approach is more appears to be more accurate or more acceptable than my approach and your approach. Because he takes the two mitzvahs of tzedakah and chesed and ascribes those two to the Jewish people. Up till now, tzedakah was associated with the Jewish people, what referred to as the goy, meaning the Jewish people, and the term chesed was attached to the le'umim, to the idol worshipping nations. Rabbi Nechumim ben Akona, though, he takes both tzedakah and chesed and associates them with the Jewish people, and those acts, when it comes to the idol worshipping nations, is considered sinful, and that found favor in the eyes of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Gemara says, "Michal du nami Omar." From what was just said, it seems that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also gave an explanation. What was his explanation? The Sanya Omar Leim Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Kishem Shehachatos Mechaperes Al Yisrael. Just like the sin offering atones when brought in the Beis Hamikdash for sins done by Jews, Kach Tzedakah Mechaperes Al Umos Olam. So too, charity serves as a source of atonement for the nations of the world. His approach is quite an extreme departure from all of the previous approaches. All of the previous approaches had said that the tzedakah is viewed as a source of sin, is almost like a sinful act, and he says that the act of tzedakah done by the nations of the world actually serves as a source of atonement. Ifru Hormiz, Ime de Shavu Malko, this is a historical figure. I was almost about to say Talmudic figure, only because she appears in numerous Gemaras, but she predated the Gemara by many, many hundreds of years. She was the... that's an error. She was actually a contemporary of the Talmudic period. She was the queen, the king mother. She was the mother of Shavur Malka, King Shafur of Persia. Shodra Abba Meazu Dinri Lekamei de Rabbi Yami. She sent 400 dinar to Rabbi Yami. Velo Kavlinu. He did not accept the money. Shadrinu Kamei de Rava. The Kabbalinu Mishum Shalom Achas. He accepted the money because, in Rava's mind, to reject it would result in negative relations between the governing authority and the Jewish community. We call that Shalom Achas. I'm sure everyone remembers, it wasn't so long ago, back on Daf Ches, where Ifru Hormiz sent money to Rav Yosef, and she attached to that a note, do with the money a great mitzvah. You don't see that over here. All you see here is money was sent to these rabbis, and Rav Ami did not accept it. He sent it back, and Rava accepted it. Shama Rav Ami, Ikpid Rav Ami heard of Rava's behavior, and he was upset. Omar Rav Ami said, Les lay. Does Rava not hold from the teaching in the following pasuk, "Bivoish kitzira tishabarna nashim bois miros I saw," that when the tree branches, the kitzira is a reference to tree branches, dry out, then it breaks easily, and even women, who are considered the weaker gender, come and set it afire. Rashi explains what's the analogy here. Bivoish Ktsira Tishavana, Rashi says, Kishetichlus Chus Shibiyodon, when their merits, the merits of the idolatrous ones, completed, finished, used up, the Avesh Lichluchis Maisit Soga Shalhen, and their acts of charity dry up, Oz Yishberu, then they break, then they will experience their downfall. So it's not of our, it's not to our interest to have idol worshippers accrue and merit additional points. So Rav Ami was upset with Rava's behavior by accepting money from the idolatrous governing authority, or the, in this case the king mother. He is enabling her and her people, the idolatrous people, to amass additional merit. We saw, though, that Rava's consideration was to, in order to preserve Shalom Achas, in order to avoid possible communal danger, it was necessary to accept the money. That's an overriding factor. And the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Ami Nami Mishum Shalom Achas." Shouldn't Rabbi Ami also accept that reasoning? So the Gemara says, he does. He does accept that. However, accept the money. That's okay. That's okay to accept the money to preserve Shalom Achas. Sending the money back, that would be problematic. But accept the money and divide it and divide it amongst the poor idol worshippers. The Rava. And maybe it goes, poor idol worshippers, it goes without saying, that is not going to be a source of increased merit for the idol worshippers. Giving the money to the to poor Jews, that would be a source of increased merit. So Rav Ami says, I understand, I appreciate the Shalom Malchus consideration, but at the same time, you could accomplish both, preserve Shalom Achas and fulfill the pasuk of Bivosh Ktsira Tishabarna. The Rava Nami Lania de Kochavi Miavinu. In truth, Rava, who did accept the money, he also distributed it to indigent idol worshippers. Rabbi Ami, who was upset with Rava, who, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Yud Aleph, Dalo Saimua Kameh. The story with Rava was not told in completion. He didn't hear the whole story. Rashi at the top says, it wasn't revealed to him, or the whole story wasn't told to Rav Ami, that Rava in fact distributed the monies to the indigent idol worshippers. What you might note is that Rashi cites also, that we made mention of that earlier, the Gemara back on Daf Ches with Ifra Hurmez sending money with the attached instruction of Mitzvah Rabbah. And it's very interesting that without our going into the Rashi right now, but he makes reference to points that we had seen in the Tosfos. Rashi, of course, predated the Tosfos, but you can look into the Rashi there at the top of Daf Yud Aleph Malaf for further understanding. At this point, we go back to the Tosfos on Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil v'Ezo. It's you'll notice that it's a daf that has only one Tosfos on it. And it refers to the last line of the Gemara on Daf Yud Omer Aleph, V'ezo shematzeles mimisa mishuna, which kind of tzedakah is capable of saving one from the unusual or cruel form of death? Noisna v'yem yedelami noisna, one gives it in a totally anonymous fashion. That is the form of tzedakah that is, we'll say, most praiseworthy. And now, in reading the Gemara, you might get the feeling that it that that high form of stucca saves from Misa Mishuna, but it doesn't save from Gehenim. The way the Gemara presented the matter says which saves from Gehenim, which saves from Misa Mishuna. So this saves from Misa Mishuna, but it won't save from Ginish Gehenim. That's a very superficial approach, but I have to present it that way in order to appreciate the Gemara, the Kasha Tosis raises. And we continue in the Tosis. V'im Tomar, you might ask, Adarabba, Zois, she mitzvah rabba, this form of sukkah, which is so praiseworthy, such a high, pure form of sukkah, Haya lo lahatzil midina shagam shurai b'yoser, that with its, we'll call it, great mitzvah power, should have been the form of stucca to save from Dina Shel Gehenim. Not from Misa Mishuna, but from judgment and purgatory, which is like the worst thing. That's the Rabbi Yosef, really bad, really tough, really difficult. So why then does the Gemara seem to indicate otherwise? It seems to indicate that this highest form of stucca saves from, we'll say, the lesser catastrophe, namely from Misa Mishuna, but wouldn't save a person from Dina Shel Gehenim. V'yomeri, the Ri explains, the roiv dvorim ein oimdim la'odom ba'olam hazeh elolachar misa. This might be shocking to many people. It means that most things, most, when we say things, we're talking about most mitzvahs, do not stand to benefit a person in this world. There is, of course, the famous Gemara, the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, that speaks of schar b'hai al-molek, reward for mitzvahs is not to be found in this world. So in that, we'll say in a similar spirit, the Ri is telling us that most things don't stand to serve as benefit for a person in this world. Elolachar misa, uboilam hazeh, ein oimdin la'odam ela mitzvos gedolos. We talk about things that are of, we'll say, this world nature. What can help a person in this world? You need to have something that's of extraordinary strength, extraordinary greatness, in order for its effects to be felt even in this world. Kedisnan, Eilu Dvorim Shadam Oichel Mi Peroso B'Lamazeh V'Kerakem Salam Bava. There are things, and the source that Tosis is citing refers to a list of very, very great mitzvahs. Those very great mitzvahs are such that you can have a residual benefit, the peros, the fruits you can enjoy even in this world. The mainstay reward, the keren, the principal reward, that's le'olam haba. So now, we'll put ourselves into that mindset. Lekach komar, therefore, our Gemara says, the afilu mimisa mishuna. Stucca done in this highest form is so powerful that even from Misa Mishuna Dahavi B'Ilam Hazeh Matzelis, even from the cruel and evil type of death, which is an Olam Hazeh phenomenon, this high form of stucca can save. So that, with that in mind, we're not saying at any point that stucca done in this highest form won't save a person Medina Shel Gehenim. It will certainly help to save Medina Shel Gehenim, but it's so powerful, this highest form of stucca of Noisav Ena Yedela Mi Noisna, that it has effects even in Oilam Hazeh matters like saving from Misa Mishuna. We now continue with the Tosfos on Omid Beis. Dibur Masfil Ela, the first Tosfos on the Omid. This relates to the Gemara 9 lines from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara was speaking about how to perform tzedakah, give it to a kupishal tzedakah, And then we had a source that seemed to indicate not to, unless Elohim came Mimunu Odel Karabi Hanane Ben Tradya. And Tosfos here, we have a taktzir, a little summary of the Tosfos on the side. Let's read that first. Tosfos Masbir Makavanos Ha Dugmosh Rabbi Chanan Ben Tradyon. What was the intent of the Gemara in using as a paradigm Rabbi Chanan Ben Tradyon? Hare Afilu Bizman Omoroim Lo Hayu Tzadikim Kamoso. Even in the time of the Gemara, he didn't have people as righteous as he. How can the Gemara in its maskona say, well, yeah, when we said give tzedakah to a kubish, give money to a kubish tzedakah, provided there's someone like Rabbi Chanan Tradyon appointed to supervise it. But we don't have, even in the time of the Gemara, we don't have people like that. So how can that be? How can it be? How can it be suggested to do tzedakah by giving kubish tzedakah in a way that it can't be fulfilled? Now we read the Tosfos. Elim King Nu Rabbi Chanan Tradyon Pirush. What do we mean by that, by paralleling the one in charge to him, to Rabbi Chananya? Pirush ne'emon kemoso means someone as trustworthy as him. Avol tzadik kemoso, lo, but to suggest someone that has, that's as righteous as he, that, no. Toho gaboyim dibeyam aroyim lo yu tzadik kemoso. The Gaboyim, the Tzedakah treasurers in the time of the Amoraim, as great as they were, they weren't, they had not reached the level of righteousness as Rabbi Chanan ben Tradyon. You might ask, so why was he cited? We're explaining that he was an exemplary individual when he came to trustworthiness, but why him specifically? Ulochi nokat Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon mishum maise. There was an incident, actually a tzedakah-related incident that involved him. Shebo liyado, a maise the shebo liyado, an incident that happened that came his way. The Yom Perakama the Maseches Avodah Zarah. In the first parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, the following is reported by Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon himself. He was asked, what merit do you have, without getting into the details of the Gemara over there on Daf Yud Zayin with Beis, and after being asked that question, you know what he answered? He said, Mois Purim nischalfali b'mois shel tzedaka. There was a mix-up of Purim money, money that's collected on to be distributed to the poor on Purim, for Sudas Purim, and those monies got mixed up with general charity funds. That's nischafu b'moyis shel tzedaka, the chilaktim le'aniyim. Now, what exactly happened over there? We're not going to get involved with that right now. We can simply say, look it up in Rashi and Tosfos for various explanations to what exactly happened. But for our purposes, he cited that as his own merit, that he was able to, we'll say, rectify or solve this tzedaka charity mix-up. And through that, we see how trustworthy and reliable he, Rabbi Chanan ben Tradyon, was with regard to tzedaka funds. Now, Tosfos goes on to give an analogy, a parallel case, another example of an individual being cited as an example, but only with regard to one aspect of that individual. Just like we said, in comparing your memuna, your one in charge of the tzedakah fund should be like Rabbi Chanan Tradyon, we said only with one aspect of Chanan Tradyon, namely his ne'emonis. V'chein b'perek b'meh toinin in Maseches Shabbos, the Omar, tefillin tzrichim gufnoki ke'elisha. For a person to be eligible, capable of donning tefillin, he must be able to preserve his body in a noki fashion. Noki fashion, literally in a clean fashion. He shouldn't pass gas as he's wearing the tefillin. He shouldn't have a feeling of a need to relieve himself. He should take care of all his bodily relief needs before donning the tefillin. So, in order to don tefillin, one must have a gufnaki like Elisha. Lo tzadik ke Elisha komar. Elisha is a figure that's reported there in Maseches Shabbos Daf Memtes, where a miraculous event took place. He's called Elisha Baal Knafayim, and he was a person that merited having an open miracle take place, as is reported there in Maseches Shabbos. So, amongst other things, I should say the Gemara there says that a person, in order to be eligible to wear tefillin, he has to have a guf noki like Elisha. Lo tzadik Elisha komar. The Gemara's intention is not to say that he has to be a righteous person like Elisha. Ela guf noki sheyedali zor shelo yishan b'hem shelo yafiach b'hem komar. The analogy to Elisha was only that he should know how to preserve himself in a hygienic sense, that he shouldn't he should be able to control his sleep, namely not fall asleep while wearing the tefillin, not be mafiyah, not pass gas while wearing them. For lo nakad Elisha elo mishumen. Why was Elisha specifically cited as the example? Mishum disrachish bei nisa, because a miracle happened with him with regard to tefillin. So Elisha, through the miracle of tefillin, was automatically associated with tefillin. And once we have this association of Elisha with tefillin, the Gemara there felt we can now say that in order to warrant or be eligible for wearing tefillin, should have a guf noki like him. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur Hamaschil El Yoinim, which relates to the Gemara three lines under the Tosfos. If you're looking at if you're going to look back at the Gemara page, you'll see that this is the third line under the Tosfos. Our Tosfos page for the markings has the Tosfos separated from the regular Gemara. The taktzir that accompanies this Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil El Yoinim, we've written the following. And in the Tosfos we'll see Kabbalas HaGaonim. The Rabbeinu Hananel tells us there was a tradition from the Gaonim, the El Yoinim Lamata V'Tachtonim Lamala. The description that we saw in that near-death experience story with the son of Rabbi Yeshua, in which he said the Elyonim Wilamata, the upper ones were below and the lower ones were above. Hainu, that was Shirah, that he saw the great Amora, first generation Amora, that Shmuel, Yoshev Kamei Rav Yudah Tamido. That you have the Shmuel was the rabbi, the teacher of Rav Yudah, was actually seated in front of Rav Yudah as if he were a student. So things, this vision of something flipped around. El Yoinim, meaning the greater one or the earlier one, Shmuel, Lamata, below, is flipped around as in the lower position of being a student of. So now we turn to the Tosfos. El Yoinim Lamata V'Tachtoinim Lamalo Pirush Rabbeinu Hananel. The Yomru HaGoinim. The Goinim said, the Goinim is the period of, we'll say, Jewish scholarship that preceded the Rishonim. And Rabbeinu Hananel, being from the very early Rishonim, possibly associated with the end of the Goinic period, he says that the Goinim said, Shekabola B'Yodam, Rav Mipi Rav, they have a tradition. Teacher from an earlier Rav passed down to a later Rav until their time, going back to the time of the Gemara, the Olam Hafuch, the inverted world, Hainu Sherosh Shmuel to have a Yosef Kamed Rav Yehuda Talmidei. Shmuel, the teacher, was actually seated in front of Rav Yehuda, his student, so that the teacher became the student and the student took the position of the teacher. And what was the merit that Rav Yehuda had that he in that next world occupied a higher position? What merit did he have that made it such? Mishum de micha b'Shmuel, b'Parshas Bayam Behema, something that's very, very difficult to achieve, but he did. He was able to michas, to protest, to criticize, to be, we'll say, outspoken in a critical fashion, constructive criticism, of course. He protested his Rebbe's behavior in Masechet Shabbos. What happened? Gabiyahi itza daasya v'tzafu kamei d'shmuel v'lo ashkapa. There was a woman who came screaming for justice in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel did not pay attention to her. He pushed her off. He didn't pay attention. He didn't handle the case. Amalei Rav Yehuda, upon seeing that, said, Lesle lamar oitem ozno mizakas dal v'chulei. Pasuk describes someone who seals up his ear from hearing the cries of the poor is something that leads to devastation. How can you be like that? How can you be oitem ozno? How can you close your ears to the poor woman's cries for justice? So that I added, if one thinks about this, it's a very difficult thing for a student to issue criticism or protest of his teacher's behavior, and yet that's something that Rav Yehuda was able to achieve, for that he gained such great merit. The Gemara says, it quotes Gemara in Brochus says, "Ein chochma vein tvuna vein etzel neged Hashem," that whenever there's a question of chilul Hashem, of wrongdoing, there is no ein chokin kovid l'rav. We don't show honor to the master, to the teacher. We continue now with the next tosis, the last tosis on the Omid, Dibur Masel va Yovei. This corresponds to the Gemara 9 lines from the bottom. We saw the different drushes on Tzroka Trim Goy V'Chesmu Milchatos, and we saw that one of the approaches was that the Chesed, the Tzroka Chesed that a Goy does, he does so L'Charef Es Yisrael, in order to deprecate, to criticize, condemn the Jews. The pasuk cited, as we pointed out by learning the Rashi at that point, was said to Yirmiyahu Hanavi by Nevuzradon. In translating the pasuk, though, you don't see any act of tztoka done by Nevuzradon, that this pasuk should be cited as a source for that conclusion, that it's Ein Oisin Elo L'Chayev Oisonubal. So Tosis comes to explain that. We turn to the Tosis. Vayove vayas Hashem kasher diber ki chatosem chulei v'oisasha osa tztoka. At that particular point, Nevuzradon was involved with a charitable act. Shehoya nira kemekane l'kodesh baruchu. It appeared as if he was speaking up in honor of the as if he was. Taking up the cause, seeking vengefulness on behalf of God. Mekane is expressing his concern for God's honor. In other words, here you have the chosen people, the Jewish people, being cast into exile, and you might say, how can the all-merciful God cast his people into exile and then start to question God's ways, chas v'shalom? And here you have this wicked man, Nevuzradon, justifying the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying that the Jewish people's downfall is because you're sinful. You have abandoned the Almighty. That's why this is happening to you. Oh, so it would then appear then that he was doing an act, a charitable act, so to speak, in defending the Almighty. So, therefore, this pasuk has direct relevance to what the Gemara was saying, that when the idol worshiper does an act of glory, but he does so really to his real goal, his real intention is for the purpose of being mecharef oisanu, to curse us out, so to speak. And he took this as an opportunity to say, you Jewish people are a bunch of sinners. Inami, another explanation of as to how Nevuzradan can be associated with an act of tzedakah, sheyamatiris Yirmiyah min azikim kirichtif asim. Yirmiyah HaNavi had actually been in shackled. He had been in chains. And he, Nevuzradan, came to release him from his enshackleman, and as it says in the verses over there, if you look in the Tanakh, you can see that. And as such, he was releasing God's prophet from being enchained. That's an act of kindness, and hence the association of Nevuzradan with an act of tzedakah v'chesed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.